Hello, and welcome to Silver Threads, a weekly program of information on how you can make your senior year shine. I'm Kathy Van Skoik. This past spring, I offered a program on senior runners. All well and good, many probably said, but that is not for me. But walking? Now that's a different matter. That's something that most of us do, right? And we know it can be excellent exercise. Yet there is more to it than previously thought. A September 2017 article in About.com's Very Well site grabbed my attention. How fast you walk as you age may predict your lifespan, which in turn led to the Center for Disease Control's article, How Much Activity Physically Do Older Adults Need, which stresses walking. Other articles from Very Well include Six Best Ways to Take Your Walking Indoors from June of 2017 and Layered Clothing, a Walking Essential from August 2016. So, how does walking speed predict longer life? Wendy Baumgartner answers. Are you proud that you can keep up with your grandkids when walking? If so, that's a good indication that you have many years still ahead of you. Studies show that past age 65, your walking speed at your natural pace is a surprisingly reliable predictor of survival. Measuring gait speed over a short distance, such as across a room, 13 feet or 4 meters, is a useful tool for doctors to set appropriate treatment and care goals for aging individuals. Walking speed is a predictor to a longer life. A large study looked at the natural gait speed of 34,485 participants aged 65 and older from 9 previous studies. These studies followed outcomes for 12 years or more, in which time almost half of the participants died. They found a consistent effect of how long people lived and whether they had a faster or slower gait speed. Those who walked naturally at 2 2/10 miles per hour, 27 minutes 16 seconds per mile, or 1 meter per second, or faster, were likely to live longer than would be predicted by age and sex alone. Those who walked naturally at 1 8/10 miles per hour, or 33 minutes 30 seconds per mile, or 8/10 of a meter per second, were likely to live the average lifespan for their age and gender. Those who walked naturally at 1 3/10 miles per hour, 46 minutes 9 seconds per mile, or 6/10 of a meter per second, were at greater risk for early mortality. Shorter than expected lifespans were seen for those who walked slower and at slower speeds. The study included a large sampling of age, sex, race, ethnicity, and other subgroups that the median survival of all of the participants resembled that of the U.S. adult population at large. They noted that there could be some biases common to studies that recruit healthy volunteers, such as enrolling fewer people with advanced dementia. The researchers noted that just because a person walks very slowly, it doesn't mean that they won't still live a normal or even increased lifespan. That would depend on the individual. What determines your walking speed as you age? There are many reasons that people walk slower in older age. Walking is a complex activity that's affected by changes to numerous systems of the body. You might naturally think about arthritis affecting your hips and knees as slowing your pace, but you also must have lungs and heart that are in good working order. Your brain and nervous system must function well to send messages to the muscles so that they work in a coordinated fashion and to maintain posture and balance as you walk. You have only to look at tips for walking faster to realize that it takes a baseline of aerobic fitness, strength, and balance to speed up. Your natural walking pace when you aren't trying to walk faster is likewise affected by your overall health. Walking very slowly usually also means you are walking less and getting less overall physical activity. Without physical activity, you become deconditioned. This can lead to a downward spiral. You walk and move around less and less, and your capacity to do so declines. how can gait speed be used clinically? If you and your doctor are making decisions about what treatments and therapies might benefit you in older age, knowing how much longer you are likely to survive can be a factor. You might be more or less willing to take an aggressive treatment or undergo a surgery that requires a long rehabilitation period if you think you have decades left to live. You might also be more diligent with taking care of yourself and following preventative medical advice if you know you have many more healthy years ahead of you. If your gait speed indicates you are at increased risk, you and your doctor might work on things that can reduce your health risks and improve your condition. If you and your doctor note that you are walking slower than you were a year or two ago, it might point towards looking at your health in greater detail, perhaps finding a condition that was not previously diagnosed. There are other means that doctors use to assess your likely lifespan, some of which may be a matter of judgment rather than something that they can measure. Walking speed is something easily measured in an office or hallway with only a stopwatch. It costs only the time of the person taking the measurement, who doesn't have to be a professional. Gait speed test. The participants in the studies that produced these results didn't know that they were walking speed was something that was significant, so they were unlikely to be trying to walk faster than normal. That will be a factor if you try to measure your own walking speed. You might enlist your spouse or a friend to measure it several times over several different days to get a better sample, throwing out abnormally high or low readings. You might try to use a treadmill and note the speed that feels comfortable and natural to you to compare a speed measured walking for 13 feet. To use the 13-foot walking test, you would divide the number of seconds by 4 to get your meters per second. The researchers produced a table and graphs for men and women to show how the median life expectancy varies over a range of walking speeds. They're shown in meters per second. For a 13-foot walk, you would take the number of seconds to complete it and divide it by 4 to get meters per second. Can walking faster lengthen your life? This research doesn't prove cause and effect. However, improving your physical fitness is associated with a longer life. If you maintain or improve your fitness as you age, you may reduce your health risks and your natural walking speed. If your walking is your preferred method of exercise, you can build cardiovascular fitness by brisk walking for 30 minutes or more most days of the week, aiming for a minimum of 150 minutes per week. In the process, you may improve your natural walking speed. In addition to aerobic activity, you should do muscle strengthening activities. If you're at risk for falling, you should do exercises that maintain or improve your balance as well. If you have a chronic condition that doesn't allow you to do moderate intensity aerobic activity, you should simply try to be as physically active as your abilities allow. Talk to your doctor about what activities are most appropriate for you. No matter what your walking speed, you can take steps to reduce your health risks and improve your chances of living longer and healthier life. If you have a naturally fast-paced, don't rest on your laurels. Be sure you are taking advantage of all of the preventative measures that will lead to more healthy years ahead. If you've just retired, now is a great time to work on your physical fitness before you get too busy in this new phase of life. Those sources included Physical Activity Guidelines for Americans, Chapter 5, Active Older Adults from the HHS Office of Disease Prevention and Health Promotion. And now on to the CDC. How much physical activity do older adults need? Physical activity is essential to healthy aging. As an older adult, regular physical activity is one of the most important things that you can do for your health. It can prevent many of the health problems that seem to come with age. It also helps your muscles grow stronger so you can keep doing your day-to-day activities without becoming dependent on others. Not doing any physical activity can be bad for you, no matter your age or health condition. Keep in mind, some physical activity is better than none at all. Your health benefits will also increase with the more physical activity that you do. If you are 65 years of age or older, are generally fit, and have no limiting health conditions, you can follow these guidelines for important health benefits. Older adults need at least 2 hours and 30 minutes, 150 minutes, of moderate intensity aerobic activity, such as brisk walking, every week, and muscle strengthening activities on two or more days a week that work all major muscle groups, legs, hips, back, abdomen, chest, shoulders, and arms. Or 1 hour, 15 minutes, that's 75 minutes of vigorous intensity aerobic activity, such as jogging or running every week, in addition to those muscle strengthening activities on two or more days that work all major muscle groups. Again, those are legs, hips, back, abdomen, chest, shoulders, and arms. Or the equivalent mix of moderate and vigorous activity and the muscle strengthening activities. Older adults should increase their activity to 5 hours or 300 minutes each week of moderate intensity aerobic activity and the strengthening of muscle activities two or more days a week for even greater health benefits. You could do 2 hours and 30 minutes or 150 minutes of vigorous intensity aerobic activity plus your strength training, or an equivalent mix of moderate and vigorous intensity. The more time equals the more health benefits. So if you go beyond 300 minutes a week of moderate intensity activity, you'll gain even more health benefits. So, aerobic activity. What counts? Aerobic activity, or cardio, gets you breathing harder and your heart beating faster. From pushing a lawnmower, to taking a dance class, to biking to the store, all types of activities count, as long as you're doing them at a moderate or vigorous intensity for at least 10 minutes at a time. Even something as simple as walking is a great way to get the aerobic activity you need, as long as it's of moderate intensity. Now, intensity is how hard your body is working during this aerobic activity. Then, how do you know if you're doing moderate or physic aerobic activity? On a 10-point scale, where you're sitting is 0 and working as hard as you can is 10, moderate intensity aerobic activity is a 5 or a 6. It will make you breathe harder and your heart beat faster. You'll also notice that you'll be able to talk but not sing the words to your favorite song. Now, vigorous intensity activity is a 7 or a 8 on the scale. Your heart rate will increase quite a bit and you'll be breathing hard enough so that you won't be able to say more than a few words without stopping to catch your breath. You can do moderate or vigorous intensity activity, or a mix of the two, each week. Intensity is how hard your body is working. A rule of thumb is that 1 minute of vigorous intensity activity is about the same as 2 minutes of moderate intensity activity. Everyone's fitness level is different. This means that walking may feel like a moderately intense activity to you, but for others it may feel vigorous. It all depends on you, the shape you're in, what you feel comfortable doing, and your health condition. What's important is that you do physical activities that are right for you and your abilities. Now, what about muscle strengthening activities? Besides the aerobic activity, you need to do the things that make your muscles stronger at least 2 days a week. These activities will help keep you from losing muscle. To gain health benefits, muscle strengthening activities need to be done to the point where it's hard for you to do another repetition without help. A repetition is one complete movement of an activity, like lifting a weight or doing one sit-up. Try to do 8 to 12 repetitions per activity. That counts as one set. try to do at least one set of muscle strengthening activities, but to gain even more benefits, do two or three sets. There are many ways you can strengthen your muscles, whether it's at home or at the gym. The activities you choose should work all major muscle groups of your body, again, legs, hips, back, chest, abdomen, shoulders, and arms. You may want to try lifting weights, working with resistance bands, doing exercises that use your body weight for resistance, such as push-ups and sit-ups. Heavy gardening, digging and shoveling are good, or perhaps try yoga. Why walk? Well, the Physical Activity Guidelines for Americans recommends that you get that 150 minutes of moderate intensity aerobic exercise each week and those two opportunities for strength training. Walking is a great way to get physical activity you need. It doesn't require any special skills, and it also doesn't require a gym membership or expensive equipment. Try adding it to your routine. Now here, from that CDC site, is a personal story from David. He is 65, and his physical activity routine is started in November 2007. He says, I've been walking just over a two-mile course in my neighborhood where I live, which takes me about 45 minutes. I also do strength training routine in the basement of our house. For that, I do three reps of different exercises of squats and shoulder presses that work all of my major muscle groups. Here's my routine. Sunday, Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday, walk 45 minutes. Monday, Wednesday, Friday, do the strength training. Why I started? Well, I went to my doctor for a physical and nothing was good. My cholesterol was high, my triglycerides were high, my glucose level was high, and that's when I found out that I have type 2 diabetes. I learned that walking helps control diabetes, so I got serious about it and started walking regularly. The benefits? All of the numbers reported in my blood work have come down significantly, to the point where my doctor was even, jokingly, questioning the reliability of the results because they were so good. I have been able to control my diabetes with diet and physical activity rather than insulin. I've lost about 65 pounds and feel better and have more energy. Biggest motivation? Fear of losing a foot or of going blind. Diabetes can lead to a lot of internal damage if it's not controlled. It would be very easy to spiral into a downward trend if I stopped being physically active. When I think about not being physically active, the fear of what could happen if I don't continue my activity routine motivates me to do it. Biggest thrill? Seeing my hard work pay off. Specifically, seeing my blood work results drop so much. You have all these people telling you for years to eat right and exercise. The benefits of doing this are no longer a myth or an old wives' tale for me. Now we're going back to Very Well, six best ways to take your walking indoors. Don't sit when you can't walk outside, also by Wendy Baumgartner. Are you taking your exercise indoors because you don't like the heat, the wet or cold outdoors? You don't have to stop walking. There are options and tactics to keep walking indoors. The benefits of indoor walking are easier to access to water and restrooms, but drawback is the boredom factor for treadmills and indoor tracks. Treadmill. A treadmill is touted as the most likely to be used exercise machine. You don't need to learn anything new. Just turn it on and hop on, adjust the speed, and off you go. You may be tempted to hold on to the handrails at first, but you will get the most benefit walking hands-free as you do outdoors. Use your treadmill time to work on your walking posture, heel strike, rolling through each step. Being able to control the speed and not having to navigate curbs and obstacles, this is a great opportunity to hone your walking form. The boredom factor is high when it comes to treadmills, especially since it is often a solo activity. Audio and video on your mobile phone or tablet can come to the rescue, especially if the treadmill isn't positioned to watch TV. Some gyms and health facilities have indoor walking and running tracks. What about them? Well, as with the treadmill, these give you an opportunity to work on your walking posture and form free from obstacles. You'll need to observe their rules, which is what direction and lane you have to use and to not obstruct others on the track. Mall walking. Most malls open early for walkers, as do some larger stores. Circling the mall offers a more social atmosphere than walking on a treadmill or indoor track, and with a chance of window shopping or to stop at a coffee stand. You can easily walk with friends or make new friends with other mall walkers. The floors are usually underlain with concrete, so you may want to wear a more cushioned shoe than you would for a treadmill. Time your walk to finish when the stores open, especially during the holiday season when the mall will fill up fast with shoppers. Video walking indoors. Leslie Sansone has a series of indoor walking workout videos designed for those with limited space to get a walking workout without a treadmill. All you have to do is clear a space in front of the TV or computer monitor and play the video or DVD to be led through a workout. These workouts burn calories and tone muscles. If you are training for a long walk, these videos do not substitute for training outdoors or on a treadmill, as different muscles are worked. Walk the halls and stairs. Make your own walking circuit at your workplace or school. Any large building has opportunities for adding steps. Wear a pedometer or a fitness band and aim to increase your average daily steps by 2,000 as a start. Use the stairs whenever going up or down 1 to 3 floors. You may make new friends in other areas of your workplace, enjoy a networking opportunity, or even start your own walking club. You'll be more in the know about what's going on as well as getting needed activity. This, now, was news for me. Airport walking paths for travelers. As an antidote to sitting on the plane, airports are adding marked walking paths in the terminal. They can help you get your 10,000 steps on a day when you're traveling by plane. Phoenix Sky Harbor International Airport debuted a 2-mile fitness walking trail in 2014. The route includes 7 water bottle filling stations for free chilled filtered water. Minneapolis-St. Paul Airport, 1 4/10 miles start walking course in the Lindbergh Terminal. At Dallas-Fort Worth, there is a 7/10 of a mile Live Well walking path in Terminal D with many art installations to view. And then there's Baltimore, Washington's Thurgood Marshall Airport Terminal Cardio Trail, 2 loops, 1 kilometer each. And Cleveland Hopkins International Airport has signs posted on columns to give you a total of 2 miles. Layered clothing, a walking essential, especially if you're going to be walking outdoors. And as the cooler weather approaches, this is apparently a good idea. Stay comfortable as you warm up, sweat, and cool down. Also by Wendy Baumgartner. To go for a walk, all you need is to put one foot in front of the other, but a number of other things can make it more pleasant. Layering clothes tops the list of 10 essentials that walkers shouldn't leave home without. You could just step out the door wearing anything that won't get you arrested, but to walk comfortably, you should learn to layer your clothing. 3 layers for walking comfort. A base layer. The base layer is next to the skin and should be of a fabric that draws sweat away from the skin. This allows it to evaporate and cool you without making you feel wet and clammy. Cotton should be avoided as it retains your sweat and doesn't release it to evaporate. For cold weather, look for polypropylene, Capilene, Thermion, Thermax, or Thermostat, or silk undershirt and long johns. For warmer weather, look for Coolmax, Supplex, or polyester microfiber. Lightweight wool is another option. It has moisture management properties for both cool and warm weather. insulating layer is next. In cooler weather, this layer adds warmth and allows you the option of removing it as you warm up. This layer could be a shirt or a vest of wool, polyester, fleece, pile, or down. But don't overdo it. You'll be warming up as you walk, so save the down vest for truly cold days. Your outer layer protects you from the elements and can be removed as you warm up. A windproof or water-resistant jacket worn loosely is a good outer layer. For rain gear, look for fabric treatments that still allow your skin to breathe, such as Gore-Tex or Ultrex. These are more expensive than a rain slicker, but when you're out walking, you'll discover you are as wet from your own perspiration as from the rain, unless your outer garments breathe. A breathable jacket allows the sweat to evaporate and keep the rain from penetrating through the jacket. How to wear the layered clothing. By layering, you're assured of having enough clothing, but not too much. Choosing fabrics that are breathable and wicking allow your body to shed the excess heat and sweat while feeling dry. You should start your walk feeling cool but not cold. If you're warm rather than cool, take off a layer or change to a lighter layer. As you warm up, remove the insulating layer. The windproof outer layer is often enough to keep you from feeling chilly. Still too warm? Remove the outer layer. You may feel cool after stopping for water or at a restroom break. This is why you're dressed in layers. Now you can put the outer layer or the insulating layer back on. But what if the layers get you too warm? If you carry a lightweight backpack or waist pack, you can stash the vest or jacket in it or attach it to the outside with a bungee cord. For jackets and layers with sleeves, you could just tie them around your waist by the sleeves. Well, I'm going to end by saying that I'm encouraged by the PACE theory, and I'll tell you why. My husband has been known to comment on our walks, "This isn't a race, you know." Well, I have always had a rather determined walk. I hope you enjoy walking indoors or outdoors. And remember that 150 minutes of aerobic activity along with the strength training. Thanks for listening, and until next week, I'm Kathy Van Skoik. You've been listening to Silver Threads, a production of WXXI Reach Out Radio in Rochester, New York. The audio producer for this show is Maureen Rich, and I'm Kathy Van Skoik. I hope you will join me again next week for more information and updates for making the best of your silver years. If you'd like to hear this program again, you can download a podcast of the show at our website, wxxi.org.